thanks. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. Lord, for the multitude of blessings. And Lord, as we remember those who gave their lives for us or who served to protect the freedoms that you gave, the rights that we enjoy because of the sacrifices of just many, many people. Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, even as we sang those songs, you know that your blessings, they never end. And we thank you for that. We thank you for these brave men, these brave women, Lord, that were willing to lay down their lives and in many cases did lay down their lives. But Lord, we should be mindful too of the one who gave his life that we could truly enjoy freedom, freedom from sin, and who gave us eternal life. Now, Father, we pray right now. We lift up Pastor John as he brings forth this word today. Lord, anoint him, bless him. Let the Spirit of God minister through him and to us, Lord, in a powerful, powerful way. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said.
This is Memorial Day weekend, as we've, you know, we talked about a little bit, and it's supposed to be the time when we stop all the busyness in our life and actually take stock of, you know, what's going on, you know, in our country, what has gone on, the different things that, you know, that people have done for us, the people that have gone off to war and fought and died for us. And I was thinking about that yesterday as I was preparing my message about how important memorials are. And we have a lot of memorials all over the country and, you know, for all different kinds of people, all different kinds of events. And the fact is there are a lot of things that are worth remembering. And that's why God gave us a memory. And it, you know that memories are really important. You know, and sometimes when we get older, some people, they talk about having senior moments. And, you know, we know there are some sicknesses where people begin to lose their memory and how hard it is then to function and, you know, to help those who are struggling with those illnesses. Because our memory is very important. It's, and it's a precious gift from God. It's what I find so amazing about our memory is that through the memory, we're able to bring the past to life. And that's something special. You know, sights, sounds, even smells. In fact, they say that smells are one of the best triggers for memory. And there are any number of things that can trigger a memory, and many of them are very important. Many of those memories are very important. So why did God give us this memory? Was it just for our enjoyment? Was it for our pleasure? Was it for nostalgia's sake so we could sit back and think all day long about the past and how good it used to be? Actually, God's Word teaches us that there are a lot of things that God considers so important that He wants to implant those things into our heart so that we can remember them or memorialize them, just like we do with Memorial Day. I want to look at a story in the book of Joshua, and it's just after the death of Moses, and God is speaking to Joshua, and he says, Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And then we move down to verse 5 and 6. It says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now see, he's setting them up. God's going to do something really big. Joshua said to the priest, take up the ark and of the Ark of the Covenant and pass on, go on ahead of the people. And so they took it and they went ahead of them. And then starting in verse 15 it says, now the Jordan was at flood stage at this time during the harvest. And yet as soon as the priest carried the ark, who were carrying the ark, reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance in a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arahab, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. Remember, they went to the city of Jericho later on? The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood, and this is just as amazing as the water stopping, maybe even more so, they stood on dry ground. While all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on the dry ground. Man, that must have been a long time standing there. The whole nation of Israel passed by. Now we get to Joshua 4, verse 1, and it says, "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down on the place where you stay tonight.'" So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he did to the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" I love, he says in there that these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. This was a historical moment. This was something that God saw as something special that he wanted his people to remember, so that God's power, that God's provision, God's protection would be miraculously displayed to all the people of Israel, and that it would be memorialized. It would be remembered down through the generations. There were many different services, many different feasts, many different ceremonies that were done by the Israelites because God commanded them to do them. God is, he's fine. He's all about memorials. He likes having memorials. He likes to have his people remember important things because, you know, it is important for us to remember the things of God, the things that God has done. So what's the value of these memorials to us? Well, in the natural sense, like I just said, it's to remember. So we can remember, just like the flag is a memorial. I mean, it's a memorial to the stars are there, tell us when each state joined the country. The stripes are for the original, the 13, well, actually there were 13 colonies on there, but the stripes are, and the both the lines, the red and the white, I think are for the different colonies. The colors had different meanings. I forgot what they are. Supposedly, I think the white was for purity and the red was for something. I can't remember what all of them were, but there's different meanings behind things that we do. And God wants us to have memories about him. He wants us to set things up in our heart, set things, sometimes visible things that we can see. Now, in the spiritual, it goes a lot deeper than just what we can see, like a flag or like a statue of a president or a painting of somebody. In the spiritual, we see these things that remind us of God's power, his goodness, his provision, his grace, his mercy. And what it does then is, as we see these things, the purpose then is to bring it to our mind and our heart to cause us to want to praise God, to honor God, to bless God, to bring glory to His name. God wants us to constantly come before Him and be reminded of Him. When we remember God, we honor Him. When we forget about God, an individual or even a nation, which many nations have forgotten about God, we dishonor God. And when we dishonor God, there will be a price to pay. We saw many stories in the Bible about things like that, about nations that were, and peoples and armies that were a disgrace to God. Remember what we talked about just a couple weeks ago when David said, "Who is this Goliath? Who is this disgrace to the people of God?" But how many times has God blessed us? How many times has He come through for us? And in those times when we really needed Him, and a lot of those things we can't even remember anymore. It's not that we don't want to. It's not intentionally. It's just that, you know, life goes on. It seems like the problems of the day just cry out louder and louder and louder, and all the worries and the frustrations and the bills and the kids and work and snow or grass or whatever it is, all these things keep coming up, and the things that God has done for us just begin to be filed away farther and farther back. And we don't take the time sometimes to stop and think about when God was there for us and when He overcame problems that were as bad as any problem we're going through now, and oftentimes far worse. When we receive gifts from a friend, maybe at a wedding or for a birthday or graduation or something like that, we know that it's proper etiquette to thank people for them. Oftentimes we send out thank you notes. You know, and our mom will come up and call us, you know, or grandma or somebody, and say, "Did you send out those notes yet? Did you send out those? I still haven't gotten it," you know. And to not acknowledge a gift is, many people would consider that an insult. Well, God deserves better than we do. And we need to acknowledge what He has done for us, so we have to remember those things. We should be continually thankful to God for all that He has done for us, constantly reminding ourselves of the many things that God has done, remembering all that He's done for us. Another thing that remembering God and all the great things He's done does is it stimulates us and encourages us to holiness. What happens is the more we remember God, the more we acknowledge God, and the more we appreciate God, and the more we begin to recognize all that He has done for us. And as we begin to see more and more how much God has done, is doing for us, our love for Him begins to grow. Our desire, our devotion for Him, towards Him, begins to grow, and we desire to become more and more like Him. Another reason it's important to have memorials or remembrance of God is that they strengthen us. They encourage us in times of fear or danger or sickness or, you know, frustration or times where, you know, we just don't know what's going on. We're disillusioned or frustrated, discouraged. There's a story in 1 Samuel where David and his men, they were living in Ziklag for a while there, and they went away out on a raiding party. They were out fighting battles, and when they came home, they found that Ziklag had been destroyed. It was burned to the ground, and their wives, their children, their animals, everything that they had was taken. And David and his men were beside themselves with grief. And it says in 1 Samuel 36:30, verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, because of their loss. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Some versions say he strengthened himself in the Lord. God had given David so many victories in his past. This was the same David who had, as a young boy, had slaughtered animals that attacked his sheep. The same David who defeated Goliath on the battlefield. The same David who was anointed by God to become the king of Israel. And so there were all kinds of memorials that David had in his heart. Remember when he was talking to King Saul, and Saul said, "You can't fight this Goliath." David recounted some of his stories about how he had fought animals with his bare hands and killed them. Those were remembrances or memorials that he had placed in his heart that gave him strength and encouraged him when he knew he needed that strength. And once again, God proved himself faithful to David. David and his men went out, and God told them to go out. He prayed, and God told them, go ahead, go get them. And they went, and they followed after those, I think it was the Amorites, and or maybe it was the Amalekites, maybe one of those ites. He went after them, and they got back all their wives, all their daughters, all their sons, all their animals, all their provisions, everything that they lost, and a lot more. They brought back all kinds of plunder. They didn't lose, it said in there, they didn't lose one thing. Another thing that memories or memorials do is they give us hope for the future. Because they inspire us with a confidence of good things to come. We look at that memorial that we got and we say, you know, God did that. Or we think about this thing that God has done. Just like that with David. Look what God did. And then we can begin to think towards the future and say, and look what God will do. This is the way God is. This is God's nature. God goes out to fight for us. He goes out in front of us. He'll give us the victory. He has plans for us. He has a hope and a future for us. So when we begin to look at what God has done, and we see all that He's done, not only for us, but throughout history, throughout the world, it inspires us. It gives us hope. It gives us confidence about the goodness of God and what God can do for us. And there's all kinds of memorials in the Bible. I mean, we just saw that one about the 12 stones that he told them to do in the River Jordan. But there's many, many memorials. For instance, the Passover. The Israelites, the Jews, still celebrate the Passover every year. Remember when they put the blood on the door frame? And it saved them from having the firstborn killed in every house. God, the angel of death, passed over them. And so now they have this service, this dinner, the Passover dinner. It's as a memorial to serve to remind them every day or every year that God protected them. God did something special for them. Remember the rainbow after the flood. Maybe not everybody knows it. Genesis 9, 12 through 16, God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life." That was the first rainbow after the flood. And God said that He would use that rainbow to remind us that he would never unleash that fury on the earth again and destroy all living creatures. So in other words, it was a sign of God's covenant, His protection again now. God gave us the Sabbath to rest on. He gave it to the Jews. In the Old Testament, we saw the Sabbath. Sabbath was the seventh day. It was the day that God rested from creation. It says that He rested on that day from all the works of creation. And now that Jesus has come, and we know that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, but then He was resurrected on that, what we call Easter Sunday. And then Sunday became the new day of worship because of what Jesus had done. And Matthew 12:8 tells us that for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so see, now our rest is in the finished work of Jesus. And so Jesus has become our Sabbath. That's an explanation of why we don't have to observe the Sabbath anymore. Because Jesus has now become our Sabbath. But that day, Sunday, is now that day that we're supposed to have a day set aside for God. And that's a memorial. Once a week, every week, we have a day where we're supposed to spend time thinking about God, honoring God, resting from, you know, our labor to a degree. I mean, we're not bound by that law anymore, but the idea is still there that, you know, we honor Jesus because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And then I talked about the crucifixion there. Speaking of the crucifixion, look at how the cross has now become a symbol. It's a memorial. All over the world, people wear the cross. People die because of that cross. Right now in the world, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that the most dangerous person to be on this earth right now is a Christian. Not in the United States, but throughout the world, there's no more dangerous thing to be than a Christian. And when you wear that cross in many of those countries, you are putting your neck out, literally, in some of them. But people still do, because they're proud that they are Christians. And they're willing to die for that. Jesus himself, he set in place one of the most important memorials that we have, and that's communion. What did Jesus say? He said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" This is a memorial. Do it in remembrance of me. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So it's a constant reminder every time we have communion. It's another memorial that God has set in place so that we will always be brought back, always come back to that place and remember again and again and again what Jesus has done for us. If we didn't have communion, there'd be a lot less remembering. It really would. There have been many other memorials that have been set in place by both God and man. But there is one memorial I can think of that reminds us of God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, creation, the crucifixion, salvation, forgiveness of sin, all these things. And that memorial, something that we have today, is called the Word of God. It's a reminder. It's a memorial. It's something that it encapsulates the things of God, the words of God, the truth of God, the revelation of God, the good news of God, and he's given it to us in this book that we have. We have this memorial that we can take with us, that we can actually just pick it up and take it and carry it with us. At one time, God actually inscribed on tablets of stone some of those very scriptures. The Ten Commandments, we know about that. That was a memorial. But now it's written down in book form so that we can study it, we can learn it, we can love it, we can live by it. And we can be reminded every day about how great and how wonderful God is. It's a lasting memorial that we're told will never fade away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. Not my memorial, not this word. It will be here forever. And not only is this memorial written on the pages of a book, and was written on scrolls, but now God has taken his word to a whole new level. He's taken it to a place that it was never at before the Holy Spirit came. Because now he has inscribed
His word in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says that it was written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. So God has now taken this wonderful memorial that He's made of all that is good, all that is true, all about Him, everything we need to know about Him. And He's transferred it from a book and He's made it come into our hearts. That's amazing. All that He's gone through, all that God has done to make it possible for us to be able to know Him. So now he's trying to get us where we get to that point where we get into His Word, where we study His Word, where we spend time in the Word, where we're reminded of God's revelation, where we're reminded of His truth, where we're growing in that Word, where we're instructed and corrected by it, where we're trained by it in righteousness. And that's why Peter, he tells us in 2 Peter 1:12 and 15, he said, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in this tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside." Now here's Peter towards the end of his life, and he's giving them God's word. And he's telling them, I will always remind you of these things. Every chance I get, I'm going to remind you. As long as I'm still alive, as long as my spirit is residing in this tent, this body that I have. He said, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So he not only wants to speak them to us, he's done everything he can. He's probably making sure that, you know, these letters were written down, passed around. I'm going to do everything I can, he says. It reminds me of when we were talking last week. I was talking about, how Joshua was getting old. He says, "I'm getting old." And he called all of Israel together. And he told them, "I'm getting old. I'm about ready to go the way of all the things of the earth. And I'm telling you now that you need to choose. You need to choose who you're going to serve, what you're going to serve. You need to choose God. You need to choose Him, His truth, His way, because He's faithful to you." And now we have God's Word here, and God's Word is faithful to us. And God He'll never take that away from us. He's faithful. The devil can't take it away. The world can't take it away. Countries have tried to destroy the Bible. God's Word is forever. And we can't take that Word for granted. His Word is living. It's alive. And now He's putting this living Word inside of us. So we need to do whatever we have to do to get this Word, to get it into us, to make it this living memorial inside of us so that it's embedded in our heart. Whatever we have to do. We find in Deuteronomy 11:18 an old admonishment, an old encouragement, I could say, where it says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols, memorials on your hands, hide them or bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates and on your refrigerators, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth." So there's a promise there, he's telling us. So as we bring this Word into our life, as we live this Word, as it becomes part of us, He's telling us then so that your days and the days of your children may be many. God's Word, because it's alive in us, has literally then become a truly living memorial. We are living memorials. As we take this Word into our life, as we follow it, as we obey it, as we love it, we become living, walking, breathing memorials to God. As we live our lives for God, and people begin to look at us, they see our lives, they see what we've gone through, they hear our stories, they know what we've been going through, and then they are inspired by this memorial, by you as a memorial. We can inspire people to go on, to go forward, to move forward in our service to Christ, in our walk in the Lord. Our life becomes a testimony. A testimony we can share. A living reminder of what God has done. We hear stories all the time about how God did this for me. God did that for me. I wasn't expecting it, but God pulled this off for me. God is doing this. He's working. He's changing my life. God has made me into a whole new person. Those are living memorials. Our testimony, our life is a living memorial. And it's a memorial then that brings praise to God. It brings honor to God. It glorifies His name. Our goal should never be to live in the past. You know, to live constantly in the past, thinking about all those memories. I mean, they're nice. It's enjoyable to sometimes think a little nostalgic and, you know, to remember music or places we went, to talk about that. But we can't go back and live in the past. That's not what God ever wanted for us. But our past can be used as a tool to measure the progress of our life. We can see where we were and where we're from and where God has brought us to now. And it's an amazing thing. Sometimes we don't see our own growth. You know, as a child, when am I going to grow up? When am I? And they don't see that they're growing. Mom and dad know, because they have to keep buying them new clothes. They have to keep getting them new shoes because their feet are growing all the time. We don't see our growth. But then sometimes when we sit back and we say, man, I was just thinking about 5 years ago, I was still getting high. I was still getting drunk. I was still partying all the time. I was still doing this. I was still doing that. And look at me now. Now I enjoy getting to know God. I enjoy loving the Lord. I enjoy, you know, being with His people. I mean, our lives can dramatically change. They do change. So we have to see this progress, how far we've come with God's help. Because it's all about God. And God wants us to see that. Every act of God in our life is like a stepping stone. Every time God does something in our life, He brings us through this challenge. He brings us through that disaster. He brings us through and He gives us the victory, and it's a stepping stone. And we keep on going higher and higher and higher. We keep, you know, reaching for the highest goal that God has for us. We're supposed to press on, not be concerned about the past, but press on towards the goal of our high calling. And that's what God is doing. But we can look back at those memorials, those markers, and see, I've grown from this, I've grown again, I've grown again, I've grown again. I keep seeing this movement. Every revelation that God has given us. If we do remember it, because God, sometimes we're reading, and we get this amazing revelation, and we understand, God just opens up our mind, and we go, oh my gosh, yeah, I never really saw it that way before. I never thought of it that way. We can't just let those things slip away all the time. These are building blocks, brick upon brick, stone upon stone, step after step. This is how we grow. And Of course, we're not going to remember every single thing like that that always happens, but we need to make an effort at least to try to remember what God has done in our life. And that's what memorials are for. And they help us then. They help us realize that we are growing into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we can make our own memorials. We can write notes down. We can keep photo albums down and maybe of things we've done and places we've gone. Or maybe we can write a journal and we can write down what God showed us that day. Or maybe we can write a book or write a tract about what God did in our life. Maybe we can do special things in our life with our family or our husband or our wife or our kids and to honor certain events, to remember events, get around, sit around the table and talk about it. Maybe on Thanksgiving we can sit there and discuss the things that God has done for the year and make special events about what God has done. On Memorial Day, we can talk about the things that God has done. We can prepare and share a testimony. We can write in our Bible. Write little notes when God speaks to us. Just write it in your Bible. It's not a sacrilege to write up in your Bible. We can write poems. We can write songs about what God has done. Get creative. Be creative. Find ways to remember what God has done so that it's not just forgotten. Because God has done, He does so much. We just can't call it all up just in our mind. I don't think any of us have that sharp of a mind that we can remember everything that God has done since we first met Him. I know I can't. And then sometimes you look back and notes you've written or things you've done and you say, oh my gosh, I had forgotten that He did that, you know? And at the time, sometimes they were huge things. We don't want to forget those things. Because those things, as I said, they inspire us. They motivate us. They cause us to be thankful. They cause us to be filled with joy. They cause us to fall in love with God all over again. They cause us to be remembering what He did for us and to recognize His faithfulness. They strengthen us. They encourage us. They're good for us. It's good medicine. It's good medicine when we're feeling ill, like David was when his men wanted to stone him and he didn't know what to do and he went and strengthened himself in the Lord. That was good medicine. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I was thinking about how we do a song called Rooftops. You know, when God has performed a miracle in our lives, we should want to shout it from the rooftops. And I just want to end with just a little bit of a psalm. I'm just going to read a little bit of Psalm 66. It says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing praises to Your name. Come and see what God has done. His awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. Memorials, things that we remember, that's what will help us to do that. Let's close in prayer. Father, what we just come here today, Lord God, and we want to thank You, Lord. We thank You for all that You have done, Lord God. We thank You for the wonderful deeds that You have done in our life, the amazing, powerful, anointed, blessed things that You have done in our lives, Lord God. We give You all the honor and all the praise and all the glory, Lord God, for You are an amazing God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.